Tonight we're looking at God being in control, and we need to remember, even though this world seems like it's out of control many times, that God is in control. And I'd like you to listen carefully tonight, because God's Word gives us hope that God is a God that's in control no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what's happening around your life. God decreed to permit the fall. God decrees to allow certain things to happen, and He can use them for good in our lives. Even the bad things He can use for good in our lives, and He permits them to come into our lives for a reason. And we saw that in the book of Daniel. What happened in Daniel, at the beginning of Daniel chapter 1, one of the guys tell me what happened that God permitted that was a very bad thing, probably a very horrible thing, but God used it for good. What was it? One of the men tell me, Daniel chapter 1, as the book of Daniel opens up. Who knows what happened? Daniel chapter 1. All right. Kimmy?
Was it about the window was put in the fiery furnace?
No, that was Daniel 3, and that was his three friends. At least you tried. Daniel chapter 1 and the start of the book of Daniel. Daniel was about 16 years of age. He was just a teenager. Something very bad happened in his life. David?
They lost their land and he got taken by another country.
Very good. I'll tell you what, these guys up here are getting it. Daniel chapter 1, they were taken captive by the Babylonians. That was the other country. They lost their land. They lost, probably their parents were killed. They were from a royal family. And they were taken captive, Daniel and his three friends. They were fine young teenagers. And their faith was sorely tested. Eventually their temple was destroyed. They were taken away from their temple. And that all happened, and the king of Babylon had plans for Daniel and his three friends. And the plans that he had was that he was going to make them into people that would follow the gods of Babylon. He changed their names and he changed their diet, and he did everything he could to get them to follow the ways of Babylon. You know that's what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to be just like the rest of the world. So you can live like the world and you can be ineffective for Jesus Christ and not able to save people and get them saved and turn their lives around. You cannot live a life of lack of separation from the world. Where you dress like the world, talk like the world, walk with the world, listen to their entertainment and get involved with their stuff, and you cannot help them. You are powerless and ineffective. And Daniel said, no, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm going to serve my God, and I'm not going to eat the food dedicated to the gods of Babylon, and I'm not going to sin against my God. And Daniel was faithful, and God was sovereign over Gentile plans, the plans of ungodly people in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2 we saw that God had a plan for the times of the Gentiles. And God gave a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and that dream had to be interpreted by Daniel. And that dream told about the future of non-Jewish empires or nations that would rule over Israel and would have rulers over them that would persecute God's people. And he mentioned four empires. The first was Babylon. The second was Medo-Persia. The third was Greece. And the fourth was the Roman Empire. And then, of course, there's a fifth empire that he saw. And what was that fifth empire? Anybody know what that was? That was a stone cut out of the mountain that smashed into the feet of the image representing all the other Gentile empires, and it caused it to become like dust, and the wind blew it away. What was that final empire or that final kingdom? What was that?
God's.
Are you Aaron or Brandon?
Aaron.
What was that?
God's kingdom.
That is excellent. God's kingdom. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's kingdom is going to come to this earth, and it's going to be on this earth. It's going to be a kingdom of God with a king over it. and it's going to have King David's going to come back, and he's going to rule in Israel, and it's going to be over the earth. And God's kingdom is going to come, and the Bible predicts it will happen in our day. You say, how do you know it'll happen in our day? Because when the Roman Empire is revived, and we believe it's in the form of the European Union, when 10 rulers are ruling, and the European Union is now under 10 nations called the Western European Union, that's when the kingdom of God will come back. And so, God's kingdom is, and what he was telling this king is, you think you're hot stuff, but I'm in control. I'm in control over your plans, and I've got people like Daniel who are just teenagers that will not submit, and I'm going to use those teenagers that live for God. By the way, you teenagers, now's the time to live for God. Don't you wait. You do it now. Now's the time to live for God. And so he's sovereign over Gentile plans. He's sovereign over Gentile powers or empires. And he's in control over something else that happened. And Kim mentioned it in chapter 3. What happened in chapter 3 where a king tried to punish Daniel's friends for not worshiping his idols, not worshiping his image when he was in rebellion against God. And what was the punishment that he gave, Kim? Put them in the fiery furnace. And while they were in there, they were not burned up. God was with them in that fiery furnace. And who was it that was with them in that fiery furnace? Jesus, the Son of God. He was there with them. And by the way, he'll be with you. If you put God first and you obey him, he'll be with you. One in God is a majority. Don't ever go with the crowd. Go with the Christ. Go with the Christ. And that's in chapter 3, he's sovereign over Gentile punishment. In chapter 4, we saw a man that became very prideful again, Nebuchadnezzar, even after all he had seen. And he said, this is the great Babylon that I built. And he was praising and worshiping, you know, himself and his gods. And he thought that was great. And God humbled him. And God had given him a dream that made him out to be this big tree. And God said he's going to cut that tree down. And that for 7 years, that he would be a lunatic, that for 7 years he would go into a mental hospital, so to speak. And that's what happened to him. He went bonkers for 7 years. He became mentally insane and lost his mind for 7 years. And after that, God brought him back and brought his sanity back, and he was put back into control. And so God showed that he was in control over Gentile pride. Not only punishment, but pride. And then in chapter 5, we saw a descendant, not physical descendant, but a descendant on the throne of Babylon, whose mother was Nebuchadnezzar's wife. And he, this man's name was Belshazzar. And Belshazzar, in chapter 5, and this is where we were last week, he said, I'm in control. And you know what he did to show that he was in control? He did something very, very bad. He had an orgy, had a big party, which was bad enough. He had it right when he was being attacked by the Medo-Persians. They were all around his country. But he thought nothing could allow them to destroy him because he was in Babylon, which was impregnable. Nobody could get in there. We talked about why last week. It was like you could not attack Babylon and get in there. And so he was perfectly safe. And what did he do to thumb his nose at God? He did something at that party that was particularly bad. Ty?
He prayed.
Well, he prayed to his false gods. Yes, you're right about that. But what did he do?
He was drinking out of the
grail. That's right. That's exactly right. Good job, Aaron. He was drinking out of the golden vessels that were in the temple of the true God, which his ancestor Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple when he burned it up. And then they lost their land. The Jews lost their land. Now he's drinking out of those vessels in Daniel 5, and he's praising the gods. You know, when he was a teenager, these things happened where God dealt with his ancestor Nebuchadnezzar. He knew about these things. And he knew that the prophecy was that the Medo-Persians would take over. And still, he thumbed his nose at God. And he was saying, you cannot take me captive. Nobody's going to be able to get me because I am protected in Babylon. And he thought he was sovereign over his own protection. But you know what? The Bible says that God is sovereign over our protection. And do you know what happened so that the Medo-Persian army was able to get into Babylon? Well, we could talk about that, but something happened on the wall that got his attention. And you know what it was. There was the handwriting on the wall, wasn't there? And it said, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And what he was being told there is that, number one, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. And what that was saying is, you have an end to your rule. And you know when that end was? When was the end to his rule? How many days did he have left? How many days did he have left? Zippo. He died that night. God knows, listen to me, when the end of your life is. And nobody can stop it. You only have so much time. And he said to this man, your days are numbered. He didn't tell him that was the last day, but he said, your days are numbered. He said, number two, he said, and I'm going to paraphrase it, I'd like to buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth. I would like to buy you for what you're worth. That's what tekel means. Mene, mene, tekel. I'd like to buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth, because I'd make a big profit. I'd be a rich man. He was saying to him, you've been weighed in the balances and are found wanting. You are nothing. Nothing. You think you're something. And the last thing he said was Upharsin. And what that is he said that your kingdom has been cut in half and is given to the Medes and to the Persians. And that night, two walls, three chariots abreast, 20 years worth of supply, impregnable city, nobody had ever been able to conquer it. And how did the armies of the Medes and the Persians march right into Babylon and kill Belshazzar that night? Anybody know what happened in history? I don't know what I said much about it. Any man, can you tell me? Any one of the men? Do you remember that? Heath.
How they made it inside?
Yes, sir.
I believe they dammed up the water.
Very good. Very good. The Euphrates River ran under the wall. Nobody had ever thought of this. Nobody had ever done this. They dammed up the water in the Euphrates River and diverted it enough to make it a muddy riverbed. And they sloshed through the mud and went under the wall. Never been done. And this guy, thinking he was protected, if God wants to take you out, he can do it in so many ways you can't even imagine it. There's no protection. Put your seatbelt on. It won't protect you. You can do whatever you want to do. It won't protect you. And God is telling us that he is sovereign over any protection we might have. How about our country, the United States of America? How many times have I told you? We are going to have things happen in our country. It's going to get our attention. 9/11 is just the beginning. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you, put your trust in God. I believe that you'll hear a day when a suitcase nuclear bomb will take out one of our cities. It'll be blown up and you'll hear it on the news. A whole city's gone. I don't know what city. And maybe more than one. I believe Hillary Clinton will be president of the United States. You can say what you want. I believe the vice president will be Barack Obama. And you might think that's fine and dandy. And I'm not a prophet. I don't know these things. I'm just saying them by analysis, by experience, by the way I watch things. That's all. You say, you're trying to alarm me or upset me or whatever? No, I'm not. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't get involved. But I'm saying more important than all of that, do the will of God. Walk with God. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 1 through verse 3. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 100 and 20 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no change. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Now, this man, Darius, they couldn't find him in history, but they found a man that had a name called Gubaru. Gubaru. He was about 62 years old. That's how old Darius was. And the man that was actually over the whole kingdom of the Medes and the Persians was a man who was a Persian by the name of Cyrus. You've heard of him. Cyrus made a decree allowing the Jews to go back to their land. Remember, they've been in captivity all this time for 70 years, beginning at about 606, 605 BC. Now to 536 BC, Cyrus made this decree saying the Jews can go back to their land. So God allowed all this to happen so that the Jews could go back to their land. But Daniel didn't go back with them. Daniel was probably between 80 and 90 years old at this point. He'd come here as a teenager. His calling was in Babylon. He was serving God in that place. Now, there are people that are in a secular job. You could serve God in a secular job, but you need to be sold out to God. I believe that we need full-time Christian servants that are missionaries and pastors and evangelists, but we need people that are people that have a secular job and secular training, but they're sold out to God. Too many people get a secular job and secular training, and they sell out to their secular training instead of keeping God first. Daniel is an example of somebody that was sold out to God while he had a full-time secular job. You can see that. And Daniel, here he is in this situation, and they offered him to be third in command of the Babylonian Empire. He said, I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't want it. They gave it to him anyway. He's like, I don't want it. That night, the Babylonian Empire was over. Don't put too much stock in people and in positions of people and in apple polishing people, because the people that you may be looking up to and thinking are hot stuff, they may be gone tomorrow. You put your trust in God and in Jesus, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Stay with Him like Daniel did. Why? Because he knew God was sovereign over Gentile politics. Daniel didn't get caught up in all the politics of it. He followed God, and he followed the principles of the Word of God. And so we see him here, and we see that God is blessing him. And by the way, in Daniel chapter 2, all the way up through Daniel 7, chapter 1 is like an introduction, and Daniel 2 through 7 is all about prophecy about the Gentile nations that will affect Israel. And God is telling them all about themselves in the future and what's going to happen. And that's written in Aramaic so they can understand it, because God wants people to understand it. In Daniel chapter 8 through the end of the book in chapter 12, Daniel is talking about prophecies of Israel and how God is over his people, his chosen nation. And so Israel is very important to God. And yet he has a plan for all the nations of the world that affect Israel. And so in Daniel chapter 2 through 7, we've been learning a lot about the Gentiles. And here in chapter 6, we see God is over Gentile politics. We just had a big election, didn't we? We just had Super Tuesday. Do you think God is sovereign over what went on? Sure, he's in absolute control. You think I was happy with everybody that got elected? No. Oh, no. But you know what? God is doing his plan. He's going to work out his plan. No matter who's in there, he's going to work out his plan. And God is ultimately in control. Now, when the devil got Adam to fall, the devil took over this world. He took over the kingdoms of this world. The devil runs this world. That's why he offered it to Jesus. He said to Jesus, if you bow down to me, I will give you power over the whole world. You'll have great power, Jesus. And he would have given it to him. He could have. And Jesus said, I don't want it. I don't want this world. Because he knew that the kingdom of God's going to come, and he's going to be the king of the kingdom of God. But he had to die first to do that. He had to be killed by the devil and his people to do that, and then rise again. And so our kingdom is not of this world. We're serving another king. His name is Jesus, and he is rejected by the world, and he's killed by the world, and he's raised up out of this world, and he's coming back again to judge this world. And the Bible speaks about that. It's going to happen, you see. And God is sovereign. Listen, even over the devil, who is the one that rules the kingdoms of this world, and not very long, because Jesus is going to come back and take the kingdoms away from the devil and judge this world. But even though the devil rules in this world, he is not sovereign over his own realm. Who is sovereign and in control of even the devil? Who is the owner even of the devil, Eddie? God. He's God's devil. If there's a big dog, I like to know that an owner has him on a tight leash, and that dog's not going to get me. I got a big dog myself. And I'm sure people want him on a leash when they see him. He's God's devil. And the devil can't do anything except God permits him. And God permits him to do things, and he does bad things. Yes, he does. But God, listen to me, he's able to work good out of it and bring good out of it. And that's why all we need to do is trust God and follow God, no matter who is elected for the Republicans or who's elected for the Democrats or who's put into power, because God is sovereign over Gentile politicians, over Gentile politics, and he's sovereign over Gentile laws. And what happened here was that Daniel was promoted to be over all of the whole realm of Medo-Persia. Now, wait a minute. He was just high in the politics of Babylon. They just got defeated. You would think that he was for the enemy. How come he's going to be the number one person? Let me ask you that question. Why do you think Daniel was the number one person? He's part of the enemy. They've just been defeated. That'd be like Russia defeating us, and then somebody that was high up in our government now being the head of the Russian government. How's that happening? Brother Kim?
Because of Jesus.
Yeah. The Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And that spirit is the part of us that is under the control of God. That is what is the difference in Daniel's life. He was a spiritual man. He was under the control of the Lord, and the Lord controlled everything he did, and that made him better than the others around him. And remember, it said in Daniel that the king Nebuchadnezzar found Daniel and his three friends how many times better than the other leaders who went through their college and went through their university training? How many times better? 10 times better. Listen to me. Listen up. You know why? You know what makes you better than somebody else? It's God working in and through you. The reason why we're not better oftentimes in the world like we should be, and not a testimony of the world, is we don't have God in control of our life. We don't surrender our time to the Lord and don't depend on the Lord in a regular way. But if you do, God will show the world how much better he is than the world is, and how much better his way is than the world's way is. And God made sure that Daniel got promoted. Just like Joseph in Egypt got promoted, Daniel got promoted. When you humble yourself under God's hand, he lifts you up. But when you're trying to do things your way and trying to be proud, what does the Bible say? God, listen, resist the proud. He puts you down and gives grace to the humble. So, listen, we see that God is the one that's in control by the fact that he keeps putting down prideful people, and he lifts up people that are humble under his hand and that are surrendered to God. That's all God wants. He wants people that are surrendered to him. Doesn't matter what your talents are, what your abilities are, just that they're surrendered to God. And so we see that God's in control by his promotion. But also, when God is blessing somebody, and God is with somebody, and God is helping somebody, what happens? The devil doesn't like it. And also, people that aren't serving God don't like it. And so people were jealous over Daniel. They didn't like it that God was with him. They didn't like it that God was answering his prayers. They didn't like it that he was number one. Now, he wasn't playing politics. God put him there. He was just doing what God wanted him to do. If God wanted him to sweep the floor, he'd be doing that. He was serving God. Some people are not serving God. They're politicking all the time. They're trying to get ahead of others. They're trying to be putting themselves forward and trying to be more popular or trying to be more this or that. That is so far from the Spirit of Christ, is pathetic. And you're wasting your time, because there's always going to be somebody better. God will see to it. Just find out God's will for your life and do it. That's true success. Put your hand on, listen, tie down. Just find out God's will for your life. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to find out his plan for your life. And that's what he's saying tonight through Daniel, that Daniel had that excellent spirit because he humbled himself under God's mighty hand, so that God, when it was time for God to lift him up, that he was able to lift him up. But these men didn't want to wait God's time because they weren't surrendered to God. They didn't even know God. So they spent all their time being jealous of God's man. What they should have done is gone to God's man and says, "What makes you tick? How can I get to know your God? How can I get to know your God?" Listen to me. Listen to me and listen to me well. When you see God working in somebody's life, I don't care if it's a young person or an adult or whatever, get around that person and learn from them. Benefit from their life. Work with them because they're surrendered to God and God's working through their life. I've learned that over and over again in my life. You see? That's what it's all about. And so God is with his people, and he is sovereign, shown by the way he promoted them. But these people, they weren't excited about that. So the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, that these people came up with a plot. And here was the plot. We got to find something this guy is doing wrong and tell on him. That's called dirty tricks. Have you ever heard of that in politics? Where you find something somebody did wrong, and then you blab it to the media? You ever hear of tattletaling just to get people in trouble? Yeah. They do it in politics. Watch the political elections. You'll see it all the time. You're seeing it right now. I know. You're watching the news. It happens. And a lot of times, if they can't get something on them, they'll take part of the truth and twist it a little bit and then tell that. You know, it's called a half-truth, you know, and they'll use that. And these men, when they looked over Daniel's life, how many things did they find that they could use against him? Eddie? They couldn't find anything. Not one thing. I wonder if they looked at our lives if they could find something. Boy, it tells you how we need to walk carefully with our God. Because the devil, he will try to get you. He will try to get you. He'll try to get your testimony and get you. And they couldn't find anything on Daniel. So here's what they came up with. We got a great plan. The one thing we can get him on, we know that he follows the law of God. And the law of God is that he prays to God, and nobody's higher than his God. And so we've got to get the king to pass a law that will go against the law of his God. And then he'll be in a catch-22. And we've got the plot that will get him. Hey, did that sound like that would work? Does that sound like a plan? Yeah. Absolutely. It's brilliant. And there are some brilliant people in politics that they can know how to beat you. I'm telling you, the Clintons, they are brilliant people politically. You don't mess with those people. They're going to win. But I'm going to tell you something. God is sovereign over politics. God is sovereign over politicians. You could play the game. You could be crafty. You can do it. But God is in control. I learned a long time ago, God is greater than anybody trying to politic and beat you with politics. You just follow God. Real simple. You'll beat them every time. And so, Daniel, you know, They came up with this. They came up with this plot, and they were going to do this. And they go to the king, and it's brilliant. They go to the king, and they say to the king, "Hey, king, we got an idea. You know what? You are such a great king. You're such a wonderful king. We think people ought to respect you more. And you ought to be respected." Well, man, that flattery will get you everywhere. Amen. We think you ought to be respected. And you know, the Medes and the Persians, we have a law. Once that law is passed, you can't countermand it. Nobody can countermand it. And so let's get a law passed, just a temporary law now, just for 30 days, that nobody can call anybody else God or call on any other God except for you. You're number one. You're over any God. You're going to be the religion of the state just for 30 days, just to show appreciation to you. And they wanted it done real quick before he thought about it. And once he signed it, it was law. And under the Medes of the Persians, the king couldn't contradict the law. Once it was signed, even if he signed it, he could not contradict it. And he signed it that for 30 days, you wouldn't call on any other god except the god of Darius. He was it. And when they did that, that meant that he was God. Now, by the way, this is a book of prophecy. I want one of the men to tell me what is going to happen in the future that this kind of foreshadows. Raise your hand if you know. One of the men. What is going to happen in the future, listen to me, to God's people, that Daniel was faced with here, with this catch 22, that this is predicting. Mark, Bacha? Yes, the Antichrist is going to make a statue of the Roman dictator, the political leader, and that statue is going to be all over the world. And if people don't bow down and worship at that statue, acknowledging the political leader as God, they're going to be arrested and they're going to be killed and so forth. And this is what Daniel was facing. The same thing. This is like a foreshadowing of it. And you know what? It encourages us to know what to do. So what we're saying here is it was done. Everything was successful. They had the law. Now all they had to do is go wait and see what Daniel would do. But we see that God is sovereign over Gentile promotion. He's sovereign over Gentile or the plots of politicians. And then we see God's sovereignty in the way that Daniel responded. How did Daniel respond to this? Now, here's what we might say. Well, there's a law. I can't pray to any other god except that guy for 30 days. Now, I can't commit idolatry, so I can't pray to him as God. I can't pray to my leader as God. And so what I'm going to do is I just won't pray for 30 days. I won't pray for 30 days. Just, you know. And I'll go right back to praying. Did Daniel do that? No, he didn't do that. See, he did not change his relationship to God. He knew that he was going to serve God just like he always did. He didn't cover it up. He went up and prayed. He faced Jerusalem where the Jews would pray because that was where their temple was. And in the city of Jerusalem, even when their temple was gone, was the center of the Jews' place to worship God. And he would face toward Jerusalem and he prayed three times a day just like he always did. He didn't change it for anybody or anything. And that's our problem. We try to change for people and we try to hide God and try to put him down instead of just doing what God wants us to do, faithfully serving our God and letting the chips fall where they may. And Daniel did that. And when he did that, God blessed him, right? Well, what happened was they saw that he did that and they arrested him and they brought him before the king and they said to the king, Daniel has violated this law. And then the king realized, oh man, I see what you're doing now. He tried to get him free. He couldn't get him free. He tried all the way till sunset to get him free. He couldn't get him free. He had to go through and punish Daniel. And the punishment was to throw him in a den of hungry lions. And under the Oriental customs, if a person was found guilty of a crime against the law, they would have to that day the crime would have to be executed. They didn't wait on death row for a long time. It was done that day. And so everything is done very quickly. Do you see how quickly things can happen? How quickly bad things can happen? How quickly problems can happen in your life? I was driving my wife to the gas station. All of a sudden, she disappeared from behind me. And then I called her on the phone. And I realized she was on ice and she slipped out and ran down a couple of mailboxes, just missed a telephone pole. How quickly things can happen. Thank God her life is spared. But you don't know. And here Daniel, what did he do? Here's something for you and I to remember. He did not stop serving God. When he was up, he was serving God. When he was put in arrest, he was still serving God. When he was praised by the people, he was serving God. When he was being lied about and slandered, he was still serving God. Listen to me. Jesus is our example. He's greater than Daniel. He served God. When people came, the multitudes came, and he made the bread for them. He healed the lame and so forth. But he also served God when they spit in his face, when they beat him, when they nailed him to a cross. He served God when they put him in a tomb and he rose from the dead. He served God. And you stay with God because God never goes out of season. Politicians may go up and politicians may go down. The good times may come and the good times may go. People may like you one minute and not like you the next minute. But God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Daniel persevered. And we see the sovereignty of God in the perseverance of Daniel. And I want you to notice that after he was thrown in that lion's den, they had to put the stone in front of the entrance. There was a place at the top where you could throw people in it. There was also a side door at the bottom, and that was sealed up with a stone, and the seal of the king was put on it. Kind of reminds you of the grave that Jesus was in, sealed with the king of the Roman Empire, the governor of Rome, but it was broken by the Lord's resurrection. But Daniel was in there in that lion's den, and the king went back to his house, and he was not able to listen to any music. He had music, but he wouldn't listen to music. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't even sleep all night. He loved Daniel. He knew God was a real God to Daniel. And he knew he was in a den full of hungry lions. And it was a death sentence. He came out the next day. And in Daniel 6:16, he said this testimony. And I want you to look there what he said. He said, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And I want you to notice the next morning when the king came, look what he says in verse 20. He said, and he cried with a lamentable voice, which meant that, oh, he didn't think it would happen. He asked if God was able to deliver him. That was wrong because God certainly was able to deliver him. He said to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" And said, "Daniel, king, live forever." He said, "The Lord sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion." I'll tell you who I think that angel was. The angel of the Lord himself, Jesus. He came there and he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's able to shut Satan and shut him down just like that. He's more powerful. Satan has power, but the Lord is all powerful. And he came there and stopped the lion's mouth. And what a wonderful thing that was. And we see God's sovereignty in that by Daniel persevering in serving God. And you know what? I see God's sovereignty when God's people keep on serving Him. Maybe you fail. Maybe the devil gets you to fail. Maybe you go down. But you keep on serving God. The reason why you keep on serving God is because that God helps you to. I know the devil's tried to stop me from preaching years ago. The devil has tried at different times to attack attack me and stop me from preaching. I'm certainly not perfect. Daniel's a better Christian than I've been. But I'll tell you this. I've seen God, listen to me, I've seen God protect me. I've seen God uphold me. There was a guy called Mordecai Ham. He was a powerful preacher. He was an evangelist. He actually led Billy Graham to the Lord years ago, but he was more fundamental than Billy Graham. He was a powerful preacher, Mordecai Ham. And when he would go into a town and he would preach, people would get saved and they shut down the bars. They'd shut down the houses of prostitution. And he went into this town and the men that had the prostitutes and they had the liquor industry, they did not like losing their business to this preacher. And so they went up to him and they said, Mordecai, you may have preached in other towns and seen people get saved, but don't come here and expect that you're going to be able to be here, because if you come here and you keep preaching here, you're going to die. We're going to kill you. We've got a hit out on you and we're going to kill you. And Mordecai said, well, maybe you will and maybe you won't. But he said, I'm going to be preaching in this town. And he preached. After he preached and God was saving people, they were enraged and they went to him. They went to his house where he was staying and they surrounded him. And the man that had the that was going to carry out the hit, he approached him to kill him. And God struck the man dead on the spot with a heart attack. Boom. And the other guys got the message. God delivered him. Now listen to me. I believe that there's coming a time called the Great Tribulation. And listen to me. In the Great Tribulation, people will be arrested unless they pray to a man as being God. And that man will not be the Antichrist. He will be called the political leader, the Roman prince, or the beast out of the sea. The Antichrist will be the one that will promote people worshiping him. People call him the Antichrist. They got that wrong. The Antichrist is the one that will promote his worship. But listen to me. There will be Christians that will not do it. And there'll be Jews that will not do it. They'll not worship them. Some of them will be killed. Some of them will be killed. And that'll be a great badge of honor to them. But listen to me. Some of them will not be killed. They'll be protected. Say, how are they protected? We got to build a bunker and hide everything? I think it's God that protects you. Because look at Daniel in the lion's den. He was protected by God. Look at the three teenage friends of Daniel when they were in the fiery furnace. They were protected by God. Do you know what that's in the Bible for? To show you and I in the last days that if we go into these times, God will protect you. If you are ordained to be protected, He will protect you supernaturally. Do you know Elijah's coming back? And I believe Moses will be with him. Some believe Enoch, but I believe it's Moses and Elijah. And they're going to preach for 3.5 years in Jerusalem. And the Antichrist and the Roman beast are going to try to kill him and kill them. And he's going to do everything he can to kill them. And the Bible says he's not going to be able to kill them. They will be killed at the end of the 70th week, but not until. Because God will protect you. So don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the future. God says, follow me, serve me continually. And that's the key. Don't listen, some people just serve God and they turn him on and turn him off. I talk to people all the time. Hey, I haven't seen you in church. Hey, I haven't seen you doing this thing. Didn't you make a commitment to God you were going to do this? Here's what they say a lot of times. Listen, well, my priorities are out of whack. Now, at least they're being honest. My priorities are out of whack. At least they're being honest when they say that. Do you think Daniel spent much time with his priorities out of whack? I don't think so. The king said, you serve your God continually. And I'm saying to you, listen to me, learn to serve God continually. When I was a young Christian, I would serve God for a while and I'd say, I can't keep doing this. I got to take a break and do something worldly. But I've learned I don't have to take a break from God. I don't have to rest from God. I can rest in God. I can rest in His will. I can rest while I'm working for Him, while I'm serving Him. And a lot of times my getting out of fellowship with God is shorter and shorter. God God wants you to stay with Him and serve Him continually. And you know what happened. Daniel was delivered out of the hungry lions. And you know what would be the thing that a lot of people would say? Why was Daniel saved? Why was he able to spend all night in that lion's den and not be eaten up by those lions? Why would it be? What would a worldly person conclude? You know, people are always trying to argue away God and trying to figure God out. Why would they say that happened? Yes.
They were sleeping.
Why would they be sleeping though? They had a nice Jew there, red meat to eat. Why would they be sleeping with a Jew there? Yeah.
They'd already eaten.
Yeah, they were full. They'd already eaten. Well, you know, these guys made sure they were hungry. The guys that got Daniel, they made sure they were hungry. You say, how do you know, Pastor, that they were hungry? Well, I'll tell you how I know. After that happened, Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den, probably through the same hole that they put him in. And the king brought him out now. And he said, the men that got you put in here.
The men that got him put in there, they and their family, was bone was broken before he hit the ground.
Before they hit the bottom of the den, the lions were so hungry that they broke their bones and crunched them up, eating them bones and flesh and all. Now, I don't give my dog chicken bones because I don't want them to get... But these lions, they just crunched their bodies up before they hit the bottom. They were hungry. Hungry lions. And what does this show you? This shows that when you attack God's people, if it's in this life or the life to come, you are going to get crunched. And you know who the lion is that'll crunch you? He's called in Revelation 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. But the Lamb of God, the Bible says, the wrath of the Lamb is going to be poured out on this world. And I wouldn't want to be in the sneakers of people that have stood up and fought Jesus Christ and fought against Jesus Christ, because you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And these guys got killed. And the final thing where we see the sovereignty of God, I want you just to notice this in Daniel 6, at the end of it, in verse 28, it says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. He was an old man and he prospered. Why? Because he kept on serving God and he knew that God was in control. And the Bible says, listen to me, that the king Darius passed a law that everybody would praise and honor the God of Daniel. Now listen to me. Right now, the God of the Bible is not very popular. In America, do you know more and more Christians are being put down? Have you noticed that? And Christianity is being put down. More and more, it's looked down upon in the media. It's looked down on CNN and MSNBC and the media. They put down true Christianity. They don't like it and they put it down. But do you know what? That there's coming a day when that's going to get so bad that Christians are going to be hated and hounded. But then God will protect us, or if He chooses, He'll let us be martyred. It's His choice. But after that's over, the name of the Lord is going to be spread through the whole earth. And guess who's going to prosper then? God's people. If you're one of God's children, you will rule with Christ over the world. This world, once He cleans it up, you will be the rulers of this world. Not the people that are ruling it now. Not the politicians that are ruling it now. So what's the message? God is sovereign over politics and politicians. Just serve God continually. Just be faithful to Him. And He will promote those that are His people. And He'll prosper them when we serve Him. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You have to accept Him as your Savior in order to be in God's kingdom, because except you're born again, the Bible says you'll never come into the kingdom of God. And so you have to accept Him by faith. Right now He's rejected by the world. He was crucified by the world. Every head bowed and every eye closed right now. Listen. He was rejected by the world. He was crucified by the world. But he has been raised from the dead, just like Daniel came out of the lion's den. He's victorious. And people try to lie about it, deny about it. They don't really deal with the resurrection of Jesus. They ridicule it. They don't believe in the ascension of Jesus. They don't believe in the second coming of Jesus. But God has given us these miracles. God has given us these wonders. God has given us these signs in the past. And they've been done. And so God says, you need to put your faith in the Lord, right? Right now, have you put your faith in the Lord to save you? If you haven't, right now you need to do that and tell the Lord, I know I need you to save me. I accept you as my Savior by faith. Would you do that right now, right where you are? Would you tell that to the Lord if you've never done that before? Would you do it tonight? And the Bible says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there somebody that'll say, Pastor, just today, for the first time, I called upon the Lord to be my Savior. Just today. Would you raise your right hand? Let me see it. I just called upon the Lord to be my personal Savior just today for the first time. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I had a man before I came tonight that came here and I gave him the gospel and he prayed to receive Christ before this service tonight. Many of you can say, I have been saved. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. But let me ask you this. Listen very carefully. Have you been consistently serving God? Have you been consistently walking with God? Or have you been too many times inconsistent in the past weeks and months walking with God? If that's the case, God wants you to learn to be consistent in church, consistent in the Bible, consistent in having a testimony that will agree with God's Word. And I wonder tonight, you say, Preacher, that's a need in my life. I'm not as consistent as I ought to be, but I want to be, and I want to ask for prayer for that consistency. Would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you tonight. Raise your right hand and I'll pray for you tonight. Amen. Amen. All over this room, let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we realize that we're prone to wander, prone to leave you, Lord, prone to get distracted by the world and worldly people. And then, Lord, we're reminded when bad times happen that you're real and that what the preacher's saying is real. But, Lord, we forget so easily. And I just pray tonight that you would not let your people forget, Lord, that your people would make sure they don't forget by staying with you day by day and staying in your word day by day and being more consistent, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd raise up more consistent teenagers and adults, men and women in this church, Lord. God, we pray for the family of this young man and the friends of this young man that you might somehow use this for an awakening. And Lord, that you would touch us to go out and witness, Lord. I thank you for teenagers that want to go out and witness and young people that want to go out and witness, Lord. And I pray for more trainers, more workers that would train and help these to do that, Lord. And that you would help us to have a great harvest of people saved while we have time. For we know our time is short, Lord, and we need to work while the day is here. Help us to be consistent in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.